Please take a seat. Let's bow our heads, shall we, as we come to study and think about God's word to us. This is what I can say of myself, and this is what I pray. Perhaps you too can pray this. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray, raised me up, and gently led me back into the narrow way. Days of darkness still may meet me, sorrow's path I oft may tread, but his presence still is with me. By his guiding hand I'm led. Father God, write your precious word onto our hearts, Lord, and into our lives, as familiar as this is to us. For we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. You might like to follow along as we go. There are one or two headings on the notice sheet that I hope are helpful to us as we go. So Psalm 23 on page 555 in the Pew Bible. There is perhaps a great danger in trying to dismantle such a well-known and well-loved scripture, but hopefully we will know it and love it more than ever after our time of worship this morning. In over 30 years of preaching, I brought this word of comfort to many funeral services. It is so easy, I have to say, to sentimentalize or romanticize this beautiful psalm as a poetic dream. But I usually start by claiming that Psalm 23 has the answer to all our needs. And it does. Even viewed superficially, they are a comfort. But to a believer, this psalm promises the intimate presence and care of our loving Heavenly Father day by day and through the valley of the shadow of death. I think it's important for us, this side of the cross, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, that we see this psalm through the prism of John's Gospel, chapter 10, the shepherd and the flock, which we will do just a little bit later. I guess for most of us, we have little or no meaningful first-hand experience of sheep, or a shepherd for that matter. And my own experience is of walking my dog on the sea wall on a lead where the sheep are grazing. They seem much larger than I expected, and they're certainly unpredictable. And the shepherd I met with me warned me that should my dog worry the sheep, his dog would deal with the situation very severely. And only a fool would have dared not to take all this very seriously indeed. But I have to say that I am with the theologian John Calvin when he wisely counsels this: against trying to tie the metaphors down too tightly. He says, let us be content with the general view that Christ likens the church to a sheepfold in which God assembles his people and compares himself as the door, since he is the only entrance to the church. And as always, Jesus' imagery would have been familiar to a society where sheep farming was a staple of the economy. King David wrote this psalm, and he was well qualified to do so, as the Lord called him from tending the sheep to being the shepherd of his people. And you can read about this in the books of Samuel and Psalm 78, verses 70 to 72. Let me just read those verses to you. He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them. It's a lovely picture of a true shepherd. Integrity of heart and skillful hands he led them. So let's break down this psalm, if we dare, and have a look at the first three verses, which I have just simply said, the shepherd and his sheep. Notice firstly, the Lord is my shepherd. It's deeply personal, as Michael has already brought to us and set the scene for us today. Now, I wonder if you've heard this story, the story of two ministers on a walking holiday in Snowdonia, who came across a young shepherd boy. They wanted to share their Christian faith with this boy in a way that he could remember. And I can already see you know where this is going, don't you? The following year, the ministers returned and looked for the boy, but couldn't find him. They called at a cottage for a drink, and there on the mantelpiece was a photo of the boy. His mother explained that he had been lost on the hills in a snowstorm that winter, and that when he was found, they noticed that he was clutching his fourth finger. The Lord is my shepherd. How about that? I guess we're a similar vintage, really, Michael. So we picked up these stories. I don't know which one came first, but the Lord is my shepherd. See how the good shepherd provides for the wants of the sheep. Fresh grass and water, a place to rest and safe pathways. Our good shepherd provides for our wants. He knows those things we really need and long for day by day. And set against this beautiful picture language of green pastures, still waters, quiet waters, and paths of righteousness are the things that life throws at us all at times. The green pastures are at times dead grass. The quiet waters, the stormy seas. The paths of righteousness against the sinful back streets. The good shepherd, like the eastern shepherds, leads from the front and longs to restore us. Literally, he causes my life to return. I love that. He causes my life to return. It speaks to me of my deepest inner needs. I hope it speaks to you too, of your deepest inner needs. But it's only, you know, only if you can say, the Good Shepherd is my shepherd. So then we see, verse 4, the traveller and his companions, or to be correct, her companions, but you see where I'm going. Apparently there's a very narrow valley south of the Jerusalem to Jericho road that's 1,500 feet high, but I'm told in places is only 10 to 12 feet wide, making it dark and gloomy, truly a valley of the shadow of death. Maybe David was thinking back to the time of the Exodus and the rescue, and Moses reminding the people that during that difficult time, they lacked nothing. And although life's problems will come upon us, that's for sure, as night follows day, we need not, nor should not, travel alone. Why would you, if you have a loving, an utterly reliable traveling companion who knows the way and longs to share your life's journey with you? The shepherd always took with him a rod, which was a short club with a bitumen head with flint and metal to fend off wild animals, and a crook to catch those sheep going astray, to hold them fast and to guide them into the right path. Our Good Shepherd is someone walking so close to us that we can almost feel his breath on our face. You and I are created to be thoroughly dependent upon this Good Shepherd, not independent of him. And this, of course, cuts across the ways of the world. At funeral services, people often choose Frank Sinatra's song, "I Did It My Way." And I have to say, from time to time, we all do it my way, don't we? But if we are wise, we will allow ourselves to be lovingly drawn back into the sheepfold by the Good Shepherd. So verse 4, the traveller and his companion. And then verses 5 and 6, the host and his guest. I think King David could well have had in mind the time when his friends put on a great spread, almost in the presence of his rebel son, Absalom, camped just down the road in the land of Gilead. We can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verses 24 to 29. For us living our lives in Christ and for Christ, we will cause the enemies of our faith to rise up against us. They will often be wolves in sheep's clothing, to perhaps confuse the metaphor just a bit. Jesus, our Saviour, the Good Shepherd, will exalt us in the presence of our enemies if we trust in him, if he truly is my shepherd. Which leads us now just to look briefly at Jesus the Good Shepherd as recorded for us by John in his Gospel, chapter 10. So you might like to turn over to there, if I can find my place. We're on page 1076 in the Pew Bibles. John's Gospel, chapter 10. I think firstly there's something important that we should realise, and that's how audacious and shocking a claim that Jesus makes of himself. It really, really was. He proclaimed, "I am the Good Shepherd." Here was the imagery of the psalmists and the prophets to refer to the Lord their God, and here is Jesus identifying himself as the true shepherd of Israel. The Gospel writer John places this after the healing of the blind man in chapter 9 that was rejected by the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, of course, were failing in their pastoral care of the people. And they surely were left in no doubt that they were failing their duties. They were like the hired hand who runs away when danger comes, not the authentic shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Furthermore, they were obsessed with maintaining the purity of the flock, of course, being Israel, for example, excluding the Gentiles. One commentator compares their failure with the work of the Good Shepherd. He calls this the scandalous generosity of God's love. Really and truly limitless. No favourites, no hierarchies, no fast first and second class. He says this, "The love of the Good Shepherd for us, his sheep, is breathtaking in scope, beyond reason, extended to every one of us, whether we feel safe in the fold or straying, whether we feel lost or found. It has the quality of selflessness that is the hallmark of true love, whether or not a response is forthcoming." The scandalous generosity of God's love. I think that's fantastic. That kind of loving care is, of course, to be shared with others so that they may want to become part of God's fold. Verse 16, "They too will listen to my voice, and there should be one flock and one shepherd." And this surely is at the heart of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, who will listen and receive it. And an obvious question comes, doesn't it? Would you identify yourself as a sheep of his fold? To not only feel safe and secure in the knowledge that Jesus is with you every step of the way, day by day, but also when this life on earth ends, safe and secure in Jesus' presence forevermore. We may sense this need at the very heart of our being, deep, deep within us. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, has laid down his life for you on the cross. You see, he really cares. He really, really, really cares. And in his resurrection life, ensures that for you, death does not have the final word. So if you know you are part of his fold, that you're safe and you're saved, then rejoice. And as a church, may we rejoice together, and may we week by week really enjoy our salvation. If you know you are not part of his flock, then simply come and listen to the voice of Jesus through his word, maybe through some quiet time at home, maybe in prayers as you reach out and search for God, and make that step that enables you to say, "The Lord Jesus is everything to me. The Lord is my shepherd." If you have a ring on that hand, that helps too. The Lord is my shepherd. So let me finish by drawing our attention to the promise of verse 6 that should cause our hearts to sing. Psalm 23, verse 6. We can only follow Jesus if we truly want to be led by Jesus. It is ours to experience, and it's like being anointed with oil. And when I read that, my mind went to Psalm 133. And this is for us as a church fellowship, as the Church of Jesus Christ here in Fordham. How good, how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head. As if that's not enough, the cup of blessing running over, and goodness and love following us all our days. The word there is pursuing us all our days. The Good Shepherd pursuing us all our days. And if that too isn't enough, that we will dwell in God's house forever. What more could we possibly want? The Lord is my shepherd. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? I thank you, Lord Jesus, that when I was lost, you found me. Thank you that you are my good shepherd. Not worthy of you, Lord. But you lead me. And we thank you, Lord. We rejoice in your presence today. We affirm that you are our good shepherd, the good shepherd of this, your church. And I just pray for anyone here this morning who, for whatever reason, it's usually a feeling of unworthiness. Not in that sheepfold. Not knowing Jesus in that way. Stop. Think. Allow the Lord Jesus by his Spirit to speak your name. To bring you into his fold. To lead you day by day. Yes, even through the valley of the shadow of death. We will fear no evil. Come, Holy Spirit of the living God. Write your word on our hearts and in our lives this very day. For we ask in the precious name of our Saviour, our Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.